Let 'em Talk with Paul DiRienzo, keeping an eye on the New World Order. 1:30 Wednesday night, Thursday morning, following Robert Knight. Let 'em Talk on WBAI 99.5 FM.
They know not what's between you and I. I keep on loving you until...
Probably off the air for a number of weeks because of the abhorrent behavior of the Pacifica National Board in taking... one of the original community radio stations off. So please welcome Kalia Jacobs from California.
What's up, folks? How y'all feeling? How y'all feeling? Are there fighters out here in New York City? Let me see some fists in the air, people that are down for the struggle. For community radio and free speech. There's some people that are down for that? All right, well, my name is Kalia Jacobs Fantauzi. I actually don't have a show at KPFA. I'm on the local advisory board. I'm a high school teacher in the area, a community activist, a youth activist. And this issue is something that's really important for me and for a lot of young people and for a lot of people who like to consider themselves unique or different. For everybody. Well, I don't know. I don't know if Ronald Reagan's going to support this one. So what I'm saying, though, is that this issue, right, of community radio is not something new. 50 years ago, KPFA was started at the same time Pacifica was started. And for the first 10 years, KPFA was the only station in the network. And what was unique about it was that these people were dedicated to the idea that they wanted a station and a voice that was not connected to the federal government, that was not connected to corporations, and therefore enabled them to say what needed to be said, enabled them to have the right to talk about issues, including how fucked up this government tends to be. And that is something unique and important, right? And a lot of other things in mainstream media will not discuss these things. So, as it grew, as the network grew, as Pacifica grew, we've seen the importance that is played. Today is a national day of action. We are gathered here today, but not just isolated as people in New York, but there's people today that are organizing a protest in Berkeley and San Francisco. They're going to go to the Civil Rights Commission and write complaints that will go directly to Mary Frances Berry. There's people in Texas organizing a teach-in and a massive demonstration. There are people in Washington, D.C. organizing the masses there and teach-in and protest. There's also people in L.A. So this is not an isolated incident. And we can't allow what has happened at KPFA, what has happened to our community radio stations, to happen here in New York City. Is that right? We can't allow that shit to happen. And we can't pretend like we are not connected. What happened at KPFA is very simple. And what is happening right now within the Pacifica board is very simple. They are no longer connected to the community. They are not connected to you or to me. And that is the issue at hand. They are connected to other entities. They are connected to the idea that money is what rules the world. They are connected to the federal government and deciding that the federal government should take shit over. And we are saying that this is something unique, that Pacifica needs to stay connected to the community, and the folks who have betrayed us need to go. Is that correct? Everyone who believes that, say goodbye, Lynn Chadwick. Say bye-bye. Bye-bye, Mary Frances Berry. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Michael Palmer. Bye-bye. These folks have enraged us because they have also been abusing their position of power. I'm also one of the 11 people in the steering committee that's in mediation. And on the first fucking day of mediation, these people had the audacity to decide on the first day of mediation to install an ISDN line into our transmitter. Now that sounds like some complicated shit, but it's not. It means that they put something into our transmitter that enables them at any time to switch and get programming from anywhere that they want to. to override our station.
And we're listening to an event that was sponsored last Thursday by Save Our Station, which is a listeners action group that's involved with WBAI, supporting producers and paid and unpaid staff alike, and which has been in the lead of bringing the struggle of KPFA here to New York.
That's right.
And
that was a great rally in the park, Washington Square Park, last week.
Right. And we're listening to a speech that was given, one of the speeches that were given in Washington Square Park by a KPFA local advisory board member, Khalil Jacobs Fantuzzi. And Khalil, we're hearing him on tape, but he's also joining us live in the studio. Live by telephone.
Live on the telephone.
it's live, and it's in the studio, but it's by telephone. And good morning, Khalil.
Hello, good morning out there.
Hi, Khalil.
All right, welcome. Well, we wanted to give people a taste of some of the things that you were saying when you were here in New York. And it was a fascinating event. A lot of people came out. We had several hundred people, and there's obviously a lot of interest. I know I couldn't get a phone call in this evening when the chair of the Pacifica Governing Board, Mary Frances Berry, was answering questions. The phone lines were totally tied up, and it was hard to really get in and ask a question in that format. And we felt that we had to continue this discussion, and it should be heard at all different times of the day and all different hours here on WBAI, because there seems to be, from the questions that were asked, a lot of people who still haven't really gotten the information here in New York.
I don't really know what happened out in California.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's the way that you had the Mary Frances Berry experience out
there.
That's
right.
Which is the same experience that we've had out here when she did a private press conference with only a certain amount of press that she previously hand-selected. And that's how she tends to operate. She likes to pretend like she's accessible or pretend like she's, you know, willing to listen to the community, and then only willing to listen to certain aspects of community or certain parts of community.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we, from your perspective, because Ms. Berry really got an opportunity, which, you know, she deserves, and had an ample opportunity to discuss and to tell the story of what happened at KPFA from her point of view. Why don't we go and tell us the story from your point of view, from the point where you became involved and you got involved in all this.
Well,
first of all, maybe we might start by explaining to people what a local advisory board is.
Okay. Well, the local advisory board is something that has been established in order to have community input, in order to have the listener input, in order to get an understanding from the community, from the listeners, what is going well at the station, what is not, what is their feedback, what is their perspective. And that to me sounded like a really critical part of a community radio station. So although I'm very busy and active in other ways as a teacher and a community activist, I felt that this is a very important way, especially being a young person of color, I felt that this is a very important way to get feedback into the station and to make sure that the listeners and the community are a part and integral, a part of what the community radio station is about. And very recently, after I became a part of the local advisory board, there was a devastating event that took place in a series of events. And that's when Pacifica, the national board, decided to take away the power of the local advisory board to elect the national board. And that was, you know, that was the way that the community folks got involved and the community folks had representation and some form of accountability to the national board of Pacifica. And that was a very devastating blow to the local advisory board in terms of disempowering us. And it was a very, you know, disempowering experience for our communities as well. And a lot of people were upset about it and spoke out against it. And it was something that we feel was pressured also by the CPB and through Lynn Chadwick and the connections that folks have within Pacifica. And that was the start of it. In terms for me, where I really felt like, you know, these some things are changing, and it's changing in a way to take Pacifica and KPFA away from what it's supposed to be, what the vision is, what the ideals were.
Did you have an opportunity, Khalil Jacobs Fantuzzi from the LAB in Berkeley, KPFA, did you have any opportunity to voice your opposition? It's my understanding that when the vote came down, the various boards voted in favor of this change in governance.
Well, what happened, the various boards didn't really vote in favor. What happened was the people who represent supposedly local advisory boards were pressured because there was a document that was faxed at the last minute that said that if you don't do this, that these funds are not going to be available. So there was a – I really felt –
Funds from the state, from the government, the CPB funds, right?
From the CPB, which is the public broadcasting.
Right.
So it would cause you to be ineligible for certain funds if you didn't vote.
That's
this particular
what was told
direction.
To uh-huh. That was what was told to the folks. We had told our representative that we did not want to support the taking away of the power of the local advisory board in any way, shape, or form. And then that happened, and what happened was they had the meeting out here. Pacifica had the meeting. They did not allow listener response until after the vote was taken. They did not allow local advisory boards to speak until after the vote was taken. And then after that, we saw the decision that Nicole Sawaya was not a good fit for the station. Even though she was doing an unbelievable job, she was a woman of color.
Who is Nicole Sawaya, just for listeners?
She was the general manager at KPFA, who was doing unbelievable work and involving the community, involving different communities that had not been involved at KPFA before, had a vision and a plan for the 50th year celebration and anniversary. We were doing very well economically in terms of, you know, getting support from the community and people to sponsor. And it was a really devastating blow for the KPFA community. Then what followed was the idea that because this is an issue that they felt was internal and didn't affect the community or didn't affect larger audience of people, they said that we are not allowed to talk about it, that we, you know, this is an internal business and that it's nothing to be talked about on the air. And as a community, we felt like that was a sincere, serious issue in terms of censorship and taking away our rights to talk about issues that are important. There had been already many of the local newspapers in the area had reported about it and talked about it, and a lot of us feel like it was very, you know, newsworthy information to the community that was being affected by this decision. So at that time, series of people that have shows felt it was necessary to talk about it, to discuss it, to get the listeners' response about it. And then we've seen how the Pacifica responded, which was by firing those people who spoke out, who decided that free speech was critical and important and were not willing to be gagged. And so we saw the firing of several different programmers.
And we've had Larry Bensky, for example, on this air shortly after he was fired. We were
right.
Among the first to break the gag rule and
right.
have Larry on for 2 hours of the same program.
But our listeners want to know this information.
It's important information. I mean, that this is not something that's just like one curveball or one person was affected. I mean, this is like a series of events that is serious, and that actually, if you take the time to research, it can go back even further in terms of finding out who are the other players behind Pacifica, who else has been involved, Pat Scott, who are the other people that have, you know, played a part of this history. And then, you know, as we saw this situation, as we saw Pacifica continuously escalating this situation, we saw what happened to my man Bernstein. We saw the ultimate crime, which is, you know, them having Pacifica, having guards pulling a person doing his show, doing his job off the air physically while he was on air. And it was something that was unbelievable. Like,
where were you when that happened?
I was listening.
Uh-huh.
I was in San Francisco and I was listening to the program and I was like, this could not be. Is this real? And the next second, I'm hearing commotion. I'm hearing somebody else take the mic because he's physically being dragged out of the station. And within an hour and a half, there was 200 to 300 people at the station. It was unbelievable
wow.
how quickly the community
You must have thought it was
organized.
Like War of the Worlds or something.
It was unbelievable to see a community that was not like, oh, that's terrible that happened, or that were like, oh, that, you know, that's something that's upsetting to me, but I'm going to do something about it later. Like, everyone dropped whatever we were doing, people from work, people from the community. Like, people just at that point were like, this is serious. We are not going to just sit here and watch this happen and not do something. And at that point, it was, you know, over 200 people at the station within an hour and a half.
What did you do?
I got there, and I was very upset. I'm a local advisory board member. I feel like I deserve access to my station, and I marched right into the station. And I talked with other community members and other staff, and I was like, is this really happening? And there was the person that they brought from Houston, who was acting as a general manager or acting as a police agent working with the police, and they said that everyone who does not leave the building was going to get arrested. And at that time, there was a lot of community folks that were like, well, then, you know, we are a community here in the Bay Area who have put our, you know, our lives on the line. If you take a look at what happened in People's Park in the 60s, people that have, you know, are willing to do civil disobedience, people that are willing to put their bodies on the line for what they believe in. So that day, there was over 52 arrests were made, including the entire news department at KPFA.
Now, Miss Berry tonight, when she was on the radio, explained that situation as that the station was endangered by all these people rushing in, and so they were under a responsibility as the people responsible for the license and the property to have the place evacuated.
Well, number one, it's critical to see, like, she can't be excused from the action, or Pacifica as an entity can't be excused for the action of actually physically pulling this person off the air. And number two, people didn't go in with guns. People didn't go in with armed, like with bottles, or people did not, like, you know, start throwing things or messing up the station. People peacefully assembled, and the majority of them were people that volunteer at the station, people that are on the local advisory board of the station, and some of the people were actually, you know, staff that was doing their job.
That were arrested.
While they were at, I mean, imagine going to work and being arrested for being in the building that you work in.
What happened? Were you arrested that day?
That day I chose to not get arrested. I was there. I was doing a lot of the liaison work in terms of talking to the people in the building and talking to the people outside the building. There was a large number of people outside of the building, and if you have any experience in a community organizing or, like, direct actions, you've got to make sure that you're responsible for the whole group. So a lot of the leadership, a lot of the folks were arrested, so I felt it was very necessary to be with the people on the outside. And we were upset, and we decided we didn't want to turn to violence with our anger, and we marched from the station all the way down University, which is like a main strip in Berkeley, all the way to the freeway, where we convened for 3 hours and had discussions about the issue and updates about what was going on, and blocked the entire traffic, and they had the sheriff patrol and the Berkeley police, and there was like 300 of us in the middle of the streets.
Now, have all the protests been peaceful?
Every protest that we have done, there has not been one incident of violence in terms of on behalf of the protesters. But it's very important to be clear that there has been violence, and the violence has been on behalf of the police department. The Berkeley Police Department, unfortunately, is not trained after all these years of how to deal with nonviolent, peaceful protesters, and I was hit with batons several times, pushed to the ground. Another elderly woman that was next to me got hit with a baton. Somebody in a wheelchair got hit with a baton by the police. And in the case of when I was actually physically arrested for, I think they were trying to charge me with this inciting a riot and resisting arrest, and they actually dropped the inciting a riot charge. So I was arrested for resisting arrest.
Explain the arrest.
The arrest happened, and it was, they took over our station, we were not like, okay, we can pretend like business as usual. We stayed at the station. We created Camp KPFA, which included homeless people, punk rock youth, hip hoppers, people in their middle 40s, people that consider themselves, you know, people that were still involved with the hippie movement, people that are part of Saving Trees. It was a very, very diverse group of peoples, multi-generational, that created this camp, and we refused to leave in front of KPFA. We started to go on air with pirate radio. We also were broadcasting live over the internet. And one morning, I was called. Actually, we had shifts, so I was actually had taken my shift to take a break, and I got a call at 6:30 in the morning, and I was told that these people are getting arrested in front of Camp KPFA. And what we saw the police did is between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m., they would come in and say, if you don't move from this area, we're going to arrest you. And people at that time would make a decision if they wanted to take a rest or to move to the sidewalk. Every time we would remain in the area, and our presence was still there. So I got there, and I started communicating with the lieutenant, Lieutenant Lopes, because that was my job to, you know, to be a police liaison. And everything he explained, he was like, yes, people have been peaceful here, and we are just making the, you know, people decided to get arrested, and this is what they're getting cited for. And I'm like, you know, that makes sense. You know, people are determined, and we're fighting for an important issue, free speech. And he was like, yeah, I understand. And then the next second, I see seven officers approaching the protesters on the other side of the street, who are now on the sidewalk, who were, like, completely legal in terms of where they were. And I go over to find out what's going on. And I'm in between the police and the protesters, and I start a dialogue with Sergeant Files. And I say, what's going on, officer? Could you explain why you're approaching the protesters? These people are here peacefully. We just got done moving out of the streets. And the immediate response was, you know, was one of the sergeants looked at the other officer, and they said, arrest him. And the next second, there was four officers on top of me, using pain holds, twisting my arms, throwing me to the ground, and I'm yelling, what am I being arrested for? What am I being arrested for? And there's TV channel cameras and newspaper cameras, and there's not a singular response in terms of what I was being arrested for. They never read me my rights. They dragged me across the street using pain holds, threw me headfirst into a paddy wagon, and then drove me around Berkeley with me in the back with handcuffs cutting off my circulation while I hit the back of I had nothing to secure myself. They had pulled my jacket over my head, and they took me to the county jail, where they did not give me a phone call, did not read me my rights, did not tell me what I was being arrested for. And when I demanded to seek medical attention, they ignored me for the first hour and a half, and then they decided, okay, we'll give you medical attention. So they sent me to Santa Rita County Jail, which is 45 minutes away.
Now, your arrest was immortalized and emblazoned along the local newspapers on the front page.
It was, and it also angered a lot of people that were out there.
Well, I have to describe that picture. You were basically from the outside looking at you. You just described it from the point of view of the person being arrested. From the outside looking at that photograph, you were hogtied. Your legs and arms were picked up above your body, and your body was lifted off the ground as you would an animal.
That's right.
It looked very painful.
And the people were very upset about it. Like, the people understood that the police had tried to target me as being a leader, had targeted me as being a young person of color, and, like, went after me. Nobody else who was arrested had that same type of treatment. We saw police brutality when the people were, like, reclaiming the station and marched up the ladder where the officers, like, hit people and used panels.
Yes, we saw Noel.
With other people. But it wasn't like where they just went after one person. And people were very upset about that.
Mm-hmm. And that was quite a picture there on the cover of the local paper.
It was. And it showed...
Something to show your mind.
It showed to the community that this is not just something that, you know, is a random thing. And it showed also the connection that actually Mary Frances Berry has with this whole picture, and Pacifica does. Because we understand very clearly that there was a call made by Mary Frances Berry to the Justice Department. And the call regarded the situation of KPFA, the situation of protesters, and that the police were not doing their job in terms of going after these protesters enough. That the police were not willing to make arrests for people that were peacefully assembled.
Now, that's the explanation. The fact that what Ms. Berry has said is the fact that the police were not adequately protecting, or said they could not guarantee the protection of KPFA and Pacifica offices, then that's the rationale for bringing in the security guards and for the arrests.
But what I'm saying is it doesn't really make sense. Well, first of all, it's an abuse of power for someone who works for the federal government to call up to the Justice Department to tell them to put pressure on. But the Berkeley police, you have some experience in terms of dealing with civil disobedience and protests, would did not feel like it was a worthy arrest. It was not. It was. They were not willing to be liable for the arrest. So we saw that what happened with the first initial arrest, they were not actually made by the Berkeley Police Department charges with from the UC Berkeley or the Berkeley Police Department. They were charges actually that were created by Pacifica. It was a citizen's arrest.
I find this fascinating.
Yeah, what is a citizen's arrest? That's something you don't really have in New York anyway, like the way I heard described.
Nobody would do that, sir.
I've never really heard
of that. You don't have that in New York?
Nobody would dare do that in New York.
You're under arrest.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
It's something that we have out here and that's rarely used because people understand that they become liable for the arrest.
Personally liable.
Personally liable for the arrest when they sign that. And so it was a decision that Lynn Chadwick made that a lot of people, even within their own camp, were surprised about. And, especially the first arrest, which were people were just, like, peacefully outside of her offices. And it was a decision that Pacifica made to have these people arrested.
They wanted, as a matter of fact, Lynn Chadwick personally gave the order.
That's right.
She was the police chief showed up and said, "I don't want to arrest these folks." And Lynn Chadwick said, "I will take the responsibility and ask for their arrest as a citizen's arrest."
That's correct.
That's how it went down.
And are there lawsuits planned against Lynn Chadwick for?
There's definitely people that are filing lawsuits on behalf of, like, with the police for the police brutality, with the false arrest, because obviously they were. False, because now there a lot of the people that were charged from Pacifica have actually been the arrests have been dropped for a part of them.
Right, I was going to ask about that. How did I know? There's been some court battles recently. What's happened?
The funny thing is that we all got we have an arraignment where we plead guilty or not guilty, and so we had heard Pacifica over and over again, instead of communicating with us or with people that they're in mediation with, they communicate to the press. So we heard from the press that they were dropping the charges. So we go to court, and I had my court date the day after a lot of the other people who had been arrested on the first day, and they're arraigned as if nothing is ever done. Actually, Pacifica had not communicated that to the district attorney office or to the police. And when I brought it up to the judge, I actually represented myself for the first day, and the judge was not aware of it, and the district attorney was not aware of anything like that. And then we seen later on that Lynn Chadwick goes to the district attorney and says that they want to drop the charges on a portion of the group.
Oh, really? Now, which portion do they want to drop the charges on? Maybe I should ask, which portion do they not want to drop the charges?
They do not want to drop the charges for the majority of folks, and including the people that were arrested for peaceful protesting outside the station.
Who got their charges dropped?
I think it was a handful of folks that were arrested, and it was a citizen's arrest or on behalf of Pacifica.
Oh, they're dropping the citizen's arrests, but not the other ones.
The other ones, they're continuing. I see. So the government is basically saying we're pursuing the ones that we made, and
we're not liable for. The Pacifica is not liable for.
Right. The ones that the state made, the government made, they're pursuing.
They're pursuing.
That's correct.
Well, we're getting some phone calls. I wonder if
our number is 212-209-2900, and we are heard on the internet at www.wbaifree.org. So that is an opportunity for people out there to call. Long distance rates are pretty low this time of night. 212-209-2900. This is Let 'Em Talk on WBAI Pacifica Radio in New York. And I'm Paul DiRienzo with Miss Joan Marie Moosey. And our guest is Berkeley, KPFA, our sister station in Berkeley, California, local advisory board member Khalil Jacobs Fantuzzi, who has just been describing how he was arrested, manhandled, hogtied, and dragged away and arrested. Have they dropped the charges against you?
No way.
So they're still pursuing charges against the local...
Still pursuing charges, and the people that the police actually go after like that are usually the people that they try and add on charges, and they tend to try and go after because they know that they were in the wrong, and they kind of want to cover their backside.
So they're going to try and get maybe whatever we call an ACD, an adjournment and contemplation of dismissal, where you can't sue them. You'll get your 6-month suspended sentence, but you can't sue us because you've admitted guilt. Okay, that's what's called the ACD in New York. Or, well, I have another word for it, but instead of going into that, I'll go to the calls, which we already have a full board of calls, 212-209-2900.